Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Ari the Wanderer Half Up podcast for episode 8. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Ali Lesher. Ali, how are you?
I am doing all right, doing all right. Some rough things are going on in the world right now, so it makes it difficult to be focusing on Ari the One, but, you know, that's what we're here to do. So hearts and prayers with the people of Paris right now. It's absolutely devastating. Just to give you my little rundown quickly before we get into the show, someone I know from Northwestern kicked me a podcast called The Chili Crew Show, and a particular episode from November 4th, there's an interview with Clay Newbill, who's, I don't know if you watch Shark Tank, Brian. Do you watch Shark Tank ever?
I do watch Shark Tank.
So he's the executive producer of Shark Tank, and he's been there all 7 seasons. He actually started in the beginning seasons of The Real World, and he was there when they launched Road Rules for the first couple of seasons of that. He's also done work on The Bachelorette. He started Redneck Island, and it's a really, really interesting interview. It starts at minute 35, so if you want to skip the beginning of the show and just listen to the interview, I recommend it. I'll tweet it out. But yeah, episode from November 4th of the Chili Crew podcast. I recommend it.
Interesting. I'll definitely check it out.
I'm writing myself a note to tweet it out because you know how I never do what I say I'm going to do. In happier news, congratulations to Rob Cesternino, Nicole Cesternino, baby number 2.
Baby 2. Unbelievable.
So
here we are talking about Ari the One. They're having kids together.
Hey, hearty mazel tov to the Cesterninos.
Anthony, right? That was what they named him.
Wow, what a stalker. Yeah, yeah. And we got a couple more 5-star reviews. I was just saying to Brian before we went on that every week I'm like, all right, this is the end of the road with these 5-star reviews. Like, we can't get new ones every week. And boom, we have 3. So thank you guys so much for consistently giving us your love. We appreciate it. So we got one that says relatable from Olivia L-E-L-L, that we always provide great banter, occasional off-topic commentary, which I thought was generous that it's occasional. But
yeah, that's like we have occasional on-topic conversation.
And in so many words, she calls me the voice of women everywhere. That's not really what she says, but you know, it's implied.
You can extrapolate out.
Mander_C, thank you so much for your review. This podcast is my perfect match, which I thought was so cute and clever. And then on our main feed, if you want to leave us a review, you can go to robhasapodcast.com/challenge iTunes.
But if it's Rob has a website.
I think both might work. Maybe. I think he's got like the market cornered on that.
He's got everything. Yeah, he's got a lot of slash stuff going on.
Or you can check out us on the Challenge Rehab Up feed, which Jordan Parhar gave us a nice little shout out on the main show the other day. And so Loggy56, love listening to Brian and Allie's opinions on what happened during the show. Amazing Rehab Up show. Many emojis. So thank you all so much for your love.
robhasapodcast.com does directly go to robhasapodcast.com, so you're good there.
Boop, boop. I know everything. How are you, Brian?
I'm good. I was waiting for you to do it this week, and I didn't really have an answer prepared, so I was hoping you wouldn't.
I said when you least expect it.
I know. I'm doing good.
Good.
Ready to talk whenever you're ready. Got anything else leading in?
Nope, that's all I got. Short and sweet.
Perfect. Just like this group's matchup total. Because they still suck.
Not so sweet. Definitely short.
Yeah, very short. Only 3. Once again, yeah, I think they've had the same opening, like 2 minutes in every single episode. Someone says they suck, and Hunter is very optimistic about them doing well.
This week, though, we got Brittany's optimism that she has faith they can easily figure it out. And I wrote down, like, this has to be Hunter's match. Like, MTV has to be telling us, because every week we see Hunter, and this week we get Brittany.
Yeah. And this week, Hannah took on the role of saying they suck. So get that going for her.
Then we get nauseated by Kiki and Devin making out on this lounger. And I laugh because we did a great, great interview with Zach. I'm probably going to reference it 1,000 times this episode. So if you want to check that out, that's on our main feed also. So thanks to Zach Longo for sitting down with us. But he was like, this season's make it like we're always having sex outside. And yet again, we get a cut to Kiki and Devin making out outside in front of everyone.
What was so weird is when they first cut to that, I thought it was Mike. I'm like, holy shit, Kiki's making out with Mike? What is happening?
No.
And then it was Devin. But it looked like Mike.
That's a story I would like to see told.
That's a great alternate universe, but that's where I thought we were headed to.
But this is, I don't know what your relationship with your mom is, but Plainview Sue, if you want to close your ears here, because it's mad sex talk between Kiki and Devin.
Yeah, I mean, that was like the theme of the whole episode, was them talking about how Devin is in the sack. But even just besides that, I'm just so over Devin and Kiki, just beyond over it. I was like zoning out every time they're on screen this episode. So I just couldn't take it anymore.
What's a shame is that I feel like there are a couple of story arcs we're going to close out this episode. I hope we're going to close out this episode. We'll see. That could have been wrapped up in 2-3 episodes that we've actually seen all 8 episodes, one being Kiki and Devin. And what's a shame is that this climax, for lack of a better word, of this story is pretty interesting to me, but it's because it's the middle part drone on and on and on through like 5 episodes. People are shutting down on this episode.
Yeah, they've just because they've just been the focal point at least now for like 3 straight episodes, and it's like, and it's, I feel like everyone else knows it's like enough already, just like either separate or be together, but like the back and forth, it's too much. It's too much.
One thing I thought was hilarious is when they're in the boom boom room and MTV's setting up this not so magical moment. And, you know, it's like the lights dim. We get the pan out of the house and then we get that rerun, the rewind music, like, and for any Bachelorette fans, I mean, this is like when Jillian and Ed were in the fantasy suite and he had trouble performing. It's like you get the pan out of the house and then the light turns on. Like they're just like trouble in paradise. I love that little moment. I thought that was like hilarious on MTV's part. I always think it's funny.
I like the little the cutaway to the Trojan condoms just like hanging there. I feel like it seemed like it was like in like a basket, like anyone could just go around and grab it and just throw them at people.
Well, did you see the sponsorship on the? There's like a website. They've done some. They've released a video about Are You the One, talking about like birth control, and it's like sponsored really? By the same website that was on labeled on these condoms.
Yeah, I missed the website.
Yeah.
What was the website?
I forget what it is. It's you can go to MTV.com or Facebook and watch their like PSA on birth control. It's like Tyler being like, so tell me, can you? And Brittany's like, you always have to wrap it up.
I couldn't take a PSA seriously from any of these people. So
I don't think I'll be
checking that out.
So then you get, this is funny. So I'm just going to, I know you want to get off the Devin and Kiki stuff, but I thought this scene was.
We have to stay on it because that was like so much of the episode, but choice. I just wish there was something else on the episode that we could talk about.
So kudos to Kiki here for speaking up for herself in this situation. And just in terms of the two of them in the boom boom room, forget what happens afterwards, but like not every 20 something year old woman would tell him that the party's not over. And what he's doing here and playing naive and saying like, oh, like I'm just, what does he say? Like I'm new at this. I'm still learning.
I'm still learning.
That is still his manipulative bullshit. Like he knows exactly what's going on and he doesn't care about her enough to have like a real intimate moment. He gets what he needs out of her, as he said to the camera he was going to. And then he says, oh, what are you talking about? I don't know what you mean. Bye.
Peace.
Peace, bitch.
Well, she had a good closing line, yeah. But I didn't have a problem with them doing that to each other. I just had a problem when it started to become public. That's when I was on the Devin side.
I mean, here's the thing. There's 20 people in this house. Are you really thinking that Kiki's the first person to ever talk about their...
No, of course not.
I don't have a problem with that.
It doesn't seem like it, but I'm sure other things have come up. But that doesn't mean it's right.
The things that Devin has said about Kiki are so brutal and has played her out so hard. And he's completely manipulating her even in this situation. I mean, it's bullshit what he's doing to her and he deserves to get put on blast for it. I don't have a problem with it. Honestly, she was only really talking to Mike and who was with her, Kayla or Amanda?
Stacy.
Well, you know, whatever. Insert person here. But we'll get into that. We'll get into that. I feel another spirited debate coming on. But yeah.
Well, that's what's happening right now. So we can go straight into that because that was in the next scene, right? With Mikey, Stacey, and Kiki all laying around doing bedside talk.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. I felt for a second, I feel like this just keeps coming up, but it doesn't. It just felt like a 10-hour series.
The Devin stuff keeps coming up, but this is that's when the threesome talk, not the threesome, but those three talks talked about.
Fan fiction.
Yeah. That's a fun threesome right there. But I guess. That's the thing, though. I guess maybe because they just have nothing else to talk about. That's why they're talking about it. But I thought it would be like, I wouldn't want to talk about a friend of mine's sex performance to the person they're sleeping with. I don't know. That seems like a weird spot for like Mike to be involved.
Well, Mike seems to be bringing it up. He's asking her all these questions. Mike clearly doesn't have an issue with it.
That's what I'm saying. But it's like a weird, like, I wouldn't ask like my girlfriend, like a friend's girlfriend, like, how does he in bed? Like, that's not something I would ever ask.
It's so funny because, well, even I want to say even in real life, this conversation would happen. Maybe not. I mean, we don't really know how tight Mike and Devin are, but I think it's so common for somebody to have, I don't know if this was maybe their first experience together, new relationship, and start talking about it. It's just not common for you to be limited to 19 roommates of both of yours, or 18 of your roommate.
Right. Yeah, that's why it's always have to take all these in context, because this is such a non-real world type scenario. But even still, even if I was just in the house, I still couldn't imagine myself being Mike in that scenario. But teach their own.
I'm trying to look. Oh, no. I'm thinking of, yeah, there's another big blow up later where Kiki gets her
hit. Yeah, that's later on Alec tries to intervene.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, so basically Devin yet again at this point is like, Kiki's done. And it's like, you know what? I'm so sick of Devin just finding any excuse. Like, yeah, maybe Kiki did wrong here, but all of the wrong that Devin has done, anytime Kiki slips up, Devin tries to use it as an excuse to be doing what he's doing. And I'm sorry, the punishment doesn't fit the crime here, because like airing out all of his emotional abuse is fine, but her airing out the fact that he's not performing in bed for her, I mean, that's a problem. But the emotional abuse, that's cool.
I just don't understand also what he's saying she's done with. Like, he's not trying to be with her, so what do you mean she's done? Like, all you're doing is manipulating her, so what, you're done manipulating her? Or I don't understand his comment about her being done. What is, like, he's just manipulating her to do all this stuff anyway, so what does he care?
Yeah, I mean, he's full of shit. That's the point. He's so full of shit. And anytime he can play the victim, he will. I mean, we saw that with the Chuck situation. Now he's doing it with this gossip situation. And yeah, I'm sorry. You can't be manipulating someone, but actually be in a complete relationship with them physically and emotionally otherwise. I mean, he's manipulating himself right at this point.
Yeah, he's trying to have his cake and eat it too. Be like, oh, I'm manipulating her, but then, oh, now I can cut her off and now we're done. But no, still just now manipulating her, but no, now she's done. So it was like, do them both.
Sorry, before we move on to the challenge, I would like to issue an apology. We can't mute our mics, and I am so sick, so I'm like trying not to choke and cough and sniffle, but if I do, I apologize.
Luckily, when I was deathly sick, I was able to mute, so that's why you guys didn't hear it that much, other than the few times I coughed and Allie called me out on it for being a disgusting human. Exactly.
All right, so this challenge, great name, great concept, failed, I think, on a few key points.
I think I agree. I did like the concept. I do like bringing in the exes, though. That was very good.
I like
good.
That you hesitate to agree.
Well, because I don't know what your points are going to be, so I don't know if I can agree yet. But I do agree that there are some things that I would have done better. But what did you not like about it?
So I love the setup. I was so jazzed going into this. Extra dirty laundry, fine. Then they say they're going to, I've been waiting for their exes to come. I feel like I mentioned it every preview and it didn't happen last season. They brought the dads in and the parents in, and the reactions are so great. Hannah looks like they just like killed a puppy in front of her or something. Cheyenne is just sheer disgust. I'm like, yes, this is going to be amazing. And then we get four exes and nothing really
happens.
Before
you move on to the exes though, about the reactions. Why was Kiki so happy? Does Kiki just get excited when Ryan announces anything?
I didn't pick up on that.
She was jumping for joy. She's like, yes, this is awesome. But you know, everyone else is panicking and she's like celebrating.
I mean, they must have like, well, Kiki, her bio did say that she always goes back to her exes, right? So she may have great relationships with them. Like Cheyenne was happy when her ex, the ex that came, was there. She was happy.
Right. That's, yeah. But I just want to see Kiki like not happy about anything that Ryan announces.
They probably have just like so much footage that got cut of her just like jumping up and down in various outfits.
Yeah. She's the perfect person if you want to get like a crowd hype, just get her to like get everyone going.
Or get three people to not pick her. The crowd gets pretty hyped.
There you go.
But yeah, what did you not like about the challenge? Or what did you like?
I didn't I didn't like that they didn't have everyone's ex. I didn't like that. And I didn't like what the exes said. It was all pretty generic stuff. I wish there was not like bashing. I didn't need to bash them, but I wish it was almost a little more specific stuff.
All right, well, Molly Block's going to call you out on that and ask you to say more, because she wrote, I felt like the idea of bringing back their exes was fun, but the opportunity was squandered because of the quote unquote questions Devlin asked them. Each guy basically said the same thing. I was expecting quirky facts along the lines of the treasure chest challenge. What would your ideal challenge utilizing their exes have been?
I think it would have been cool. I don't know how this could have been executed, but if you had like the exes say who they thought the girl would be with, I don't know how that could work. I thought that could be kind of interesting. Maybe just like they say a story about someone and you have to determine out who it is rather than just like, oh yeah, they're nice, they're clingy, they're dramatic or whatever. Just like be like, this is a story about me and my ex. Who do you think did this or something like that?
I just thought the way they did it season one was great. I honestly 100% forget how they did it. I just remember being really pleased. I think they all came out and said something. I didn't have like too much of a problem with what was said here, but I just thought it was really, really not working out with only having four. And then I assumed like it just got cut for time, but no, like those were the only four dudes there. Mackenzie Lynn asked a question of something else I noticed was missing. She said, season one, we got all of the ex-girlfriends. In season two, all of the parents. But season three, we get like four ex-boyfriends. Honestly, number one, we are robbed of seeing Kiki's ex and Devin's showdown. And number two, the exes didn't even go to the house to mingle like the last two seasons. Do you guys like the change this season or not?
I didn't need them to come back to the house to mingle. I don't think that was necessary, but I wish they had all exes there. I do. I agree that that would seem like a waste.
See, I liked the part. I definitely want to see all the exes, and I liked that all the exes came back last year. I think, I don't know if they felt like it was too many exes or if they felt like, you know, budget cuts, they couldn't fly them all out. But I thought that was one of the most memorable moments when Khaleesia and Dylan are confronted with Dylan's ex being in the house and they have like a real relationship and Dylan's ex is still in love with him. I don't know. I just still remember that really clearly. I thought that was really interesting. But they did have the exes go back in the house. If you guys want to check out mtb.com, there was a deleted scene. And the only thing that really happened was Amanda hooks up with her ex. I mean, she kisses him goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Did you check that out?
Okay. I did not.
All right. So basically, Amanda's wasted. When they show that episode, that scene between Mike and Amanda's like, I don't want to open up to anyone else. That's why I always go back to my exes. And it's like implied that that's Mike. That really is her ex, her quote, MMA ex that comes into the house.
I love that that's how she announced this. Oh my God, they brought my MMA ex.
So she's saying like, you know, oh, I love him. And she's blackout and they're flirting and they're holding hands and all the guys are staring at them. And Nelson's getting really pissed off about it, as Nelson does, gets pissed off about things that don't matter to him.
Right.
And he's like, the ex is like, are you going to call me when I come back? And she's like, definitely. And then she gives him this like weird kiss goodbye. And then she gets confronted by everyone in the house. And so Nelson is just on her. And it's like, in this situation, I would probably be shady and just go tell Mike. I wouldn't yell at her because Nelson is then saying, you know, when Kiki's not my match, I thought maybe I have to get to know everyone and I was trying to get to know you. And I'm like, really, Nelson? Like, that's why you're personally upset about this? Like, I thought it was just the concept that she's not hooking up with people in the house would upset you. But Nelson's on an island of his own.
Yeah, Nelson's a weird guy. He just seems like out of place amongst everyone else. I don't see him like really connecting with any of the girls, and I don't even see him connecting with any of the guys. He just seems like kind of on his own. It's a weird.
I mean, that's not what we hear, but on the show, he's not getting much love. He's just always there to kind of like spoil the fun. But
right, or announce, oh, I told you this, people weren't a match.
What was hilarious is Amanda's like drunk defense of herself is always like almost there, but then it's like totally off because she says in this. So first she starts saying like, Nelson, why the hell do you care? And then when he says it, she's like, I kiss everyone. I kiss my father. And it's like, oh, like you were almost there. And then, no, you can't be saying you kiss your dad the way you just kissed that MMA guy.
Oh, Amanda. Amanda, I really am disappointed that Amanda kind of like got swept under the rug the last few episodes. She was really one of the more entertaining people this season.
I don't know. I feel like she's just doing the same thing, but maybe we're wrong. It would not that MTV has a problem repeating storylines every episode.
Right.
But back.
It's a shame that she never really separated from Mike. That's the big problem. If she had a Mike 2.0 relationship with someone else, that's what was really missing.
So. No, I definitely agree with you. That would have been great. But it doesn't seem like that's her personality. It seems like, based on her going back to that MMA guy the second he walked into the house, that kind of seems more up her alley.
Yeah.
So the exes we do get to see, we get to see Brittany's ex, and Brittany's like losing her shit about it. What do you make of Gordon?
He seemed like a nice guy. And Brittany was very, very agitated to see her. But it was weird. First, she was like, he's just super jealous. That's why I broke up with you. And then he's like, oh, well, she still texts me. I love him. I love him. And he's like, yeah, I do that. So that was kind of contradictory right there that like, oh, one thing's not true. The other thing is true. So I don't know. He seemed like a nice kid, though.
I mean, Brittany will own it. Like, that's what's hilarious is Brittany will get so fired up like this. I just couldn't help but say this. And I don't know if anyone would get this, but she just belongs in Lin-Manuel Miranda's next theatrical production because her fast talking skills like. Directly would translate into rap. It's unbelievable how fast she talks during this episode.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that is true. I do that.
When she gets angry, she hits the double fast forward on the podcast. If you've ever done that before, it's like one of the freakiest things in the entire world, and that's what she sounds like.
But yeah, everyone knows it's Brittany based on what he says. And I thought it was fine. I didn't even pay attention to what Devlin was asking because I thought the guys were going to say what they wanted to say anyway.
Yeah, I don't care about the questions, more just like what they were saying, which was, some of it was somewhat interesting, I guess. Like the stuff with Stacey, it was kind of interesting, but everything else was kind of.
What was amazing to me is, and we're going to talk about this, but like Devin is rumored to be on not this season, but the next season of the challenge. And my God, if this is any indication of his challenge prowess, did you see the GIF that Lighthearted Entertainment tweeted out? Like slow motion of him doing this?
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. It was not the most graceful athletic performance from Devin.
It was horrific. And then they tried to blame it on the wind. And I'm like, Hunter's got that same wind.
Yeah, and Hunter killed it. Mr. Baseball, as Ryan Devlin tried to sound cool.
So then we get Stacey's boyfriend, Adam, as you said, and he's saying, oh, they still keep in touch. Like she doesn't care about any other people when you guys are together. So everyone obviously knows that it's Stacey. And then this is when Ryan dubs Chuck Mr. Challenge.
How many challenges has Chuck won? I honestly don't remember. Has he won that many?
I feel like he's been on a lot of dates, but it's all a blur.
Yeah, I can't remember. Honestly, when Kayla said she hasn't been on a date, I was stunned by that. I'm like, hey, really? She hasn't been on a date yet?
Because the dates are always the worst part. So it's just like, yeah. What's amazing?
It's funny because that's like the least interesting part for us, but that's probably like the biggest thing that they all look forward to. So it's just like polar opposite.
What infuriated me here is Alec is like, oh my God, like I will take it under advisement that Stacey's ex didn't say bad things about her. Like, oh my God, thank you so much, Alec. That's so nice of you to consider me because this guy liked me once.
The Alec Stacey storyline is like one of the more confusing storylines I've seen on reality TV in a while, just because of how they're showing it and then how everyone's saying it's not really happening. The whole thing just doesn't make sense.
Even how they show it, right? Let's just take how they're showing it for what it is. It still makes no sense. Like this is not, it's so clearly not a fully developed story arc here. Like all of a sudden we're just supposed to believe that this Adam fellow jumps in and says that Stacey's a nice girl and Alec does a complete 180 and not only thinks they're a match, but is interested in her in a relationship with her.
Right.
Like I call bullshit on that. Like it is so frustrating to see this story play out episode after episode and not even get a satisfying resolution. And I think they think this is satisfying.
They must, but it just feels so chopped up. Like I can't even keep track of all these things are even happening at the time they're happening. Like every other storyline, it seems like even the Devin Kiki that is so annoying, but it's like a clear path. Like it's, this is like definitely like how it happened, or at least close to how it happened. The Stacey Alex stuff, it just seems like one thing maybe is from like the first week, the next thing is like week six, the next thing maybe week two, the next thing might be week four. It just doesn't adding. It's not adding up.
And if we are getting the Hunter stuff cut out, we're not even getting the explanation that Stacey gives to Hunter. Like, nothing's making sense. Like, it would have been, I think, so much more interesting if what Stacey is claiming they've cut was shown. As it is, the story is not interesting.
Definitely. Yeah, because it also is cutting out Hunter for the entire season, and he's like a somewhat interesting person. I would like to see, like, I know his optimism gets a little dull, but he was interesting the first week or two with what he was going on, and you know, he's been basically relegated to the back burner. So they're like hurting Stacey and Hunter all in one process.
Yeah, totally agree. The next ex we get is Cheyenne's ex, and she's thrilled. It's like it's bizarre though, because she doesn't take any hit for the fact that both her ex and her are saying that, like, if you're in a relationship with me, you have to be in a relationship with him too. And everyone's like, oh yeah, true.
Yeah, they're like, okay, that's fine. That's totally normal.
And then Pratt comes out for... No, I'm just kidding. Were you expecting Pratt to run out as one of their exes?
That would have been pretty amazing. Do we ever get word on who the people were that was Pratt's ex? I don't know.
Chelsea pre-block and Kiki commented back on Twitter that was like, oh, we're so sick of these rumors. Okay. Like, yeah, this never happened. So we're just teasing.
Right. Okay. I don't remember who it was. So it was Chelsea and Kiki. Okay.
And then... X4 is Amanda's MMAX. And this time it's the first three to go on dates that get the ring, and they get to pick the dates. Now, how helpful would this have been earlier on in the season?
You would think so, but they still screw it up. So it's not even helpful.
I mean, yes and no. We'll get into it. But like, I just think in general, this format, if it was consistent or there were more dates like this, it would have been more helpful earlier on.
Sure. But I'm saying, like, I wouldn't even believe that it would help them, because here they got it in the perfect scenario to make a crucial truth booth to rule stuff out, and they still screw it up. So
Mia Pia wants me to ask myself a question. Allie, out of the exes who came, which one did you find most attractive? Definitely not the quote MMA ex, and nothing against MMA people. I've talked about my connection to MMA in the preview podcast, but I would say, gun to my head, Stacey's ex. But you know, the girls and I would never get in a fight over a guy because we have very different tastes. Yeah, we can all be friends.
There you go, happiness.
All right, so let's get into the picks then, because you seem to have a strong opinion. So Hunter picks Amanda, Nelson picks Kiki, and Austin picks Kayla, all for different levels of pathetic reasons.
Right. I mean, the best reason of all, well, not the reason, but like her happiness, Kayla being thinking that Austin could be her match, was like one of the greatest answers I've seen all season, that they both like expensive things. So that's a basis of a relationship. But Hunter picking Amanda is, I don't know why everyone was not super pissed at Hunter. How do you not pick Brittany?
I think Nelson and Kiki were going to go in either way.
But they shouldn't have. Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't it from the first week? Either Stacey and Alec or Hunter or Brittany or a match.
Oh, you're...
But only one of them,
you're
right?
Not wrong. Well, I would never hesitate to correct you. You're not wrong.
So how is it not Hunter? If Alec will never pick Stacey to go on a date, how does Hunter not pick Brittany to find out officially if they're a match or Stacey and Alec are a match? How does that not happen?
I would love to have an answer for you. I think at this point, everyone has just resolved to accept that Stacey and Alec are a match, which would have to mean that Brittany and Hunter aren't.
But then he picks her at the match ceremony.
I don't, you know what? But that may be just blackout insurance.
Oh, it's...
That's blackout insurance. I mean, Zach did say in the interview that they always had to think about how to not blackout. I mean, they didn't do that in the 1 week. But regardless, it is frustrating. I think Brittany has been so hesitant to even acknowledge that Hunter could be a match, even though she doesn't like him. And also, Brittany has been in like a permanent lip lock with Chuck for the past 4 weeks. I don't know that Hunter... I think Hunter like genuinely does want to find someone who likes him. I don't know. I'm not justifying it. It was just plain stupid. Mm-hmm. But regardless, I mean, do you think they would have voted in Brittany and Hunter?
Probably wouldn't have, and it would have been even funnier that they did that way.
But all right, so then talk about MTV stealing from the from Survivor. They're going open water spearfishing on the date.
Yeah, where's Richard Hatch to show them what to do?
All right, so Alex Panda-Moran, and we touched on this, but by increasing the challenge winners from 2 to 3 couples and letting the winners choose their dates, are producers trying to help the group, and are they still wasting it?
I just think the biggest thing is this was like the cheapest date, so they could afford to have another couple go on.
I just think at this stage, there's nothing that the producers could do to help short of telling them the answers. But I mean, I like I said before, I really think this would have been a more helpful date and format in general earlier on. Whether or not they would have made the most of it. I mean, at this point, it's a wash.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain to me why we're seeing this conversation between Mike and Amanda this week based on what we've seen the past episodes?
It's... I don't know. I good on Mike for trying to get Amanda to try to help win the game, to help her find her match, but
by sleeping with her.
That happened later on. Wasn't this conversation where just like give Hunter a chance, which is a good advice, but I mean Amanda was never going to follow it.
I mean, we're not seeing the whole story here. That's what's bothering me. Is forget what people are tweeting. Like, it's just. They're not even doing a good job of editing it together so that it makes sense, so that I'm not wondering what are we missing.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's been a very choppy season.
Yeah, and I'm getting seasick. Like Cheyenne, I gotta learn how to puke before it's too late.
Well, you got one more week, so hang on tight.
All right, so this is when the Kiki shit hits the fan, because Chuck and Devin and Nelson are having a conversation about how Kiki is putting him on blast. And then Devin makes a complete wrong play, because he's like, for me, it's like, if I'm comfortable and we could go wild, that's fun. But I don't get that vibe from her. The one thing that is clear is Kiki's sexual prowess. You can't start claiming that it's on her. I'm sorry. Like, what he does later by just saying it's wrong in general to put her on blast is a much better argument than, oh, well, like, she's not even wild enough for me.
What I've noticed Devin likes to do is I think he just throws out a few excuses, and then he waits for one to like stick. And then that's the one he'll like beat with a drum about any argument he's in, which I can respect, because I don't think anyone else that he's around would pick up on it. So it's a good move by him. He just waits to see which argument sticks.
Well, Cheyenne picks up on it. She's like, so why is she saying you're terrible at sex?
Right, so then he jumps to the next excuse, and then the next excuse, and the next excuse.
So I like here where Melanie, Cheyenne, even Chuck a little bit, he's just telling him to be careful, are kind of toning Devin down here. Like, if you don't care about her, why are you doing this to her? Like, you're calling her that girl. Like, thank you, Mel, for pointing that out. And then this is when Alec, you know, Papa Alec steps in between Devin and Kiki. And I think Austin's there, too. And it's just like, all right, Dr. Phil's. Like, I would be so annoyed with these two guys if I were Devin or Kiki.
Yeah, especially like, you know, Austin, just go worry about strategy. You haven't done anything all season. Alec, you're dealing with someone who, based on the show's perspective, is like clinging to you. And you're like, you're not showing the... You're not responding and you're not doing anything else. So it's like, deal with your shit. Let us deal with our shit.
I just love here. Like, and I know I'm becoming like the number one Kiki defender, but just in this situation, like Devin's confronted her. Like, why have 10 people come up to talk about our sex? Which just like made me so uncomfortable. And Kiki gets the ultimate, like, sucks to suck confessional, like just eating a sandwich and is like, oops.
I do enjoy the single confessionals when you can tell they're just like super drunk and eating and not giving a shit. That's when you get the best lines.
And speaking of best lines, I think this is Kiki's best moment of the season here. And you can interject if I'm wrong, but she hasn't had many good moments, I think, in your eyes. So when she just stops taking Devin's shit here and is like, I aired you out one time. How many times have you done it to me? Whatever. I'll be a hypocrite. You're a liar. And she's not crying. She's asserting herself. And when Devin walks away, she's not running after her or giving a shit. And I was just like, what an evolution for Kiki. This is a story arc that makes sense. Just Kiki by herself as an individual.
But do you even buy that that's the end? Like, do you think in the two-part finale next week that they will have no hooking up at all?
I don't know, but it seems like Kiki isn't that into it. So why would she?
I don't know. There was... Was it 2 weeks ago when Devin said it's not over if I don't want it to be? And then Kiki's like, oh, okay, we'll see. And then they were back
together.
But
at that point, she didn't know how bad he was in the boom boom room. Now she has nothing to gain.
I think if Devin wanted to, he can once again talk her out of it and they could be hooking up again next week.
I mean, maybe, but he's going to have to put in more effort.
That's fine, because he'll just boom wave his puppet fingers
ew,
again.
Oh, that's what disgusting. He does. Okay. I still, any time they display that or they show that scene, I literally throw up. It is like the most disgusting thing I've ever seen on reality television. I'm making great claims here, but I don't care.
It's okay. I love the hyperbole. Go for it.
But yeah, this is like pissing me off with Devin. He's a complete one-trick pony, and I will be happy to say that I'm wrong next episode. As I said to Alec, I don't mind being wrong. I do get the vibe here that Kiki's not impressed by his boom boom room prowess. And she's not really impressed by she's not having the same reaction to this wrongdoing that she's done a little bit to what she did with Chuck. Like, she flipped out, Dev, crying to talk to me, like all of that shit. And now she's just like, whatever, I'm eating a sandwich. Like, all right, I'm stupid. Okay, Devin, thanks. Like, I just think the way she's reacting to it is not the same as we've seen before. So I'm hoping the outcome won't be the same either, but we'll see.
I hope so too. I hope so.
I was actually excited to see this date. I'm transitioning pretty rough today, but I was excited to see this date, I think, for the first time, just because it was like some new people we haven't seen in new pairings.
Right. But did you get a lot out of the date?
No, it was a major disappointment.
I didn't get a lot out of it. Okay. But I would almost, not even like the conversations, I would almost rather just see them doing the acts of the date.
Oh, that's boring for me.
I would rather see them spearfishing than hearing Hunter talk about getting past Amanda's hard shell into her soft, gooey part. Like, just that's like, he says that to like literally every person that he's ever had a date with. Just, I'd rather see spearfishing.
I mean, I'll watch a Discovery Channel if I want to see spearfishing.
Or maybe watch Nelson almost drown. Like, I'd watch that.
So that's one thing that also pissed me off here is like, Kiki is saying like, I'm all about the water, I'm into this, he's not, we're not a match. And everyone's like all up in a huff about that and no one believes her. But let's go back to when Chuck and Cheyenne were on a date and Cheyenne gets a little seasick and Chuck's like, oh, okay, we're not a match. And somehow that's okay reasoning.
I don't have an answer. I don't know. That's a good point. I don't know. People pick and choose what arguments they like to hear and from who. And I think people are just sick of Kiki's excuses about everything. So they're just like, Kiki, stop. Just, maybe he's your match.
I mean, and Kiki has no problem saying that these guys are stupid. Like, thanks for putting me in the truth booth with absolutely every possibility. It's been great for me, but sucks for you.
But is it even good for her? Like, why is it good for her?
Because she,
if all these people are wrong.
Because she's at least the closest to knowing who her match is. Like, in terms of her individual game. Yes.
But there is no individual game. That's the whole point. It's all group.
Right,
thing.
But just in general, like, she's understanding more of her match. But, I mean, look, she hasn't been voting, right? So it's not really like she's rallying against being put in. It's just in a purely reactionary point is like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's just like the type of thing where if there was an individual part, it'd be like, okay, yes, Kiki is gaining stuff. But it's like, they're all just going to find out who their match is in 2 weeks when they lose. So
true. We think maybe it's just like, well, that's a punishment. You'll never know.
You never find out. But that's like the most curious thing about for next week. Is finding out what happens when they lose. At this point, I'd honestly be super disappointed if they won, because it'd be such a waste of not even finding out what happens if they lose and they still win and it wasn't even like a fun journey along the way.
We'll have to wait and see. One more week. Not even, because we're recording this on Saturday.
Right. 5 days, 4 days. What's this? Saturday, 4 days? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 4 days.
All right. So one thing I like about this Amanda and Hunter match is like, I think Hunter really understands Amanda. Like, Hunter has actually done a really good job of, when he goes on dates, he knows about the girl he's with. Like, he was even saying the right things to Kiki. He's saying the right things to Amanda. Like, I do give Hunter credit. Like, I think he has really made an effort to get to know these girls. It's just that they're two in their own world.
Right. And I think he said it best when he picked Brittany. Didn't he say when he picked Brittany in the match, like, I'm doing what I need, not what I want? So why didn't you do what you need when you had the option of going into the truth booth?
Speaking of the truth booth, so Kiki and Nelson get voted in and it's like, oh, this is where I had it in my notes, is like Chuck brought up like water had nothing to do with it, and I'm like, really, Chuck, sit down. 'Cause you sit down. But maybe I just don't like Chuck. But
well, that's definitely part of it. But there's also that.
And I'm so sick that of Devin even getting the opportunity to continue this emotional abuse. Like, they're so obsessed with their themselves, so they have to be a match. Like, shut up, Devin. Speaking of someone who's obsessed with himself, can't ever keep his mouth shut.
I did enjoy his joke about her shaving his legs. Got, like, crickets from everyone else. That was funny.
You also get crickets from me on that one.
Yeah. Eh, that's okay. They're not all winners.
All right, so much to Kayla's... meeting Kayla's expectations, they are not a match. And Nelson's reaction is just like, I didn't see anything wrong with her. Like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with a girl that's not your perfect match.
And he's like, I'm super pissed. Like, super pissed. Like, you just started to have a connection with her like 12 hours ago. How could you be pissed?
They didn't even have a connection.
No, they...
On the date, he promptly exited the water like a kid when they call Adult Swim. And she's like still on the date by herself.
I mean, I guess you have to just pretend you're upset just for like the cameras. You keep it like, oh, well, whatever. I don't even care about Kiki that much anyway. I guess you can't really say that. You have to pretend like you're upset. But that's why I just like, I really hope they lose this game, because like, there was no like interesting couple storylines along the way that if we're going to get a losing storyline, let it just be this season.
I mean, it's like more likely to me that he has his eye on Chelsea, so he wants to go to the honeymoon suite with someone, than he's actually upset about Kiki not being his match. I'm going to let Billy Gross help me out with the next transition. He has a question. So the moral of the Alec and Stacey story is, stalk a guy long enough and he will finally like you.
Seems like that's a nice Hallmark movie coming your way.
Next week on Lifetime. But yeah, I just like can't get into this. It's like, you're what I came here to find. I do want you. Let's go for it. Figure it out. And then their kiss is like, makes me so uncomfortable to watch. It's like, who's forcing it more? I'm not even sure.
And then the confessional by Stacey saying, this is why I didn't kiss anyone all season, knowing he would come back. That's just the most baffling. Like, this whole storyline just makes no sense.
All right, so Mackenzie Lynn had a question about that, too. So Stacey seems like a sweet girl, but as someone who edits for a living, you can't use something to tell a story that isn't said. So why is she saying she's been hooking up with Hunter all season on Twitter, and then say on camera, and you could tell this was filmed near the rekindling of her relationship with Alec, that you waited and didn't kiss anybody else? I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they didn't add that part in after she went off on the editing a couple weeks ago.
I don't think they did that. That's too much. But I mean, she had to have said it at some point. Like, maybe they rekindled earlier on. I don't know. But something had to happen.
I think this was, would you be willing to say you didn't kiss anybody else? Like, would you say that? I mean, I think this was fed by producers.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise, there's no explanation. Like, how was this earlier on? Because it's direct in response to Alex interested in her again because of what the guy said. Maybe that's not true. Maybe this did happen later. But then we never see them together. He doesn't really, he goes on that date with Mel. I mean, that had to be in a certain order. And he's talking shit about Stacey on that date. So how could that have been before that?
The whole thing, it makes no sense. There needs to be like a 30 for 30 short about Stacey and Alex.
I mean, I want to say, I feel like a producer was like, we're going to make this like the big Prince Charming moment of the season. You were there by his side the whole time. Would you be willing to say this? Like, I just can't. I mean, I don't think reality TV is scripted. I definitely think there are producer fed lines. I know that there are producer fed lines. I don't understand how this would come about any other way.
I agree. That has to be something.
All right. And then this then moment makes no sense to me, where Mike is telling Amanda. I mean, this is like, we're getting the same people that have been causing problems with each other, and the guys have been trying to avoid these girls for the past 2-3 weeks. And now we're getting them coming back together. I mean, based on nothing.
Based on nothing. I don't even understand what their conversation was about.
I mean, they're just drunk again.
I wrote down they're drunk, they like each other, and they hook up. I didn't know what they said to each
other. I mean, I could see Mike is going to play this like, oh, I didn't want this to happen. Shit. Like, she's going to take this the wrong way. It was just sex, like whatever. Cause he's like, you and me are like Bonnie and Clyde, which is like the most tired relationship reference. Like, that went out with Jay-Z and Beyonce. Not that Jay-Z and Beyonce are out, but once Jay-Z and Beyonce covered it, it was over. And he's like, I'm resisting every temptation towards you. And Amanda takes that as like, I think Mike was trying to say, or will say he was trying to say, we need to be apart. We need to be apart. And Amanda's like, oh, are you able to resist it? Look at this temptation, like kisses him. And then like, it's on. And so I'm just like, I feel like Mike is going to play the Chuck card, which is like, when a woman throws herself at you, like, what are you supposed to do?
Right.
How could I say no?
Spot on. Was that a Chuck impersonation of Mike? Because it was perfect.
That was my mic doing. That was my mic just ripping off Chuck. Pure mic.
Oh, perfect. Well done. But yeah, I mean, that's another problem with this season. All the couples have like their similar type stories. It's like they just didn't separate enough and like develop other connections, which has been frustrating.
But the other thing is like Zach tweeted a lot of disappointment this week, and I have one of his tweets. So many other great things happened during filming with literally everyone else disappointed in how the entire show was cut together. And I think that speaks volumes, because all we could do is say like, well, maybe nothing else was going on, or maybe they didn't explore other connections. But according to Zach, who has some film background, other interesting things were happening. So I don't understand.
Yeah, and I like seeing the goofy stuff. Like, I liked the talent show last week. I mean, I almost wish that was like a longer scene. I like that stuff, especially if there's nothing interesting going on with any of the couples. Like, sure, show me them playing like a game of like capture the flag or something in the house, or so, like something goofy that I'm sure they're doing. Just show that to us. Like, that's fun to watch.
I know, I agree with you. And we even get those moments like in the real world in the challenge. I'm not really understanding why this is just going so rogue. Right. But that's what I'm saying, is like Zach and other people in the house are saying that other things did happen with couples that were interesting. Other fights happened. I mean, you could check out our interview for that. But, you know, I don't know. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to hear that they felt better things happened than Rashawn. And we always hear that. But I tend to believe it in this case.
Usually I trust what they're showing is like the better stuff, but this stuff is just not, because it's just so repetitive, and it's like with the same like six people over and over again. It's like, all right, I know Tyler's doing stuff that's funny. Show me it, because everyone says Tyler's such a funny guy. Like, they're not just happen to say that. So just show it.
Well, here's the highlight of the episode is Tyler is talking to Cheyenne and lays some Usher on her. Like, you remind me of a girl that I once knew stuff. And, you know, there's no basis for that relationship in this moment, except for just like me cheering from my couch. Like, please let them end up together. That would be such a call to be the top guy and the top girl of everyone's list. End up a perfect match.
Yeah. And I mean, because they had to toss it in to give explanation for what happens in the matchup ceremony. But sure, let's go.
A paltry explanation for what happens in the matchup ceremony.
Sure. But like, sure, let's go with that.
All right. So this is what killed me, is like, this is the one moment I actually didn't mind Ryan this episode. And when we get to the matchup ceremony and he's like, you know, if you screw up tonight, you're heading back into the house to convince yourself you could still get this. Like, I actually laughed out loud when he said that.
Yeah, Ryan had a decent matchup ceremony this week. I agree. He was fine this week.
I appreciate that he's not still doing the like, okay, guys, for $750,000. Like, he's like saying, like, you guys are pathetic and good luck to you. We're not giving you this money.
And I think even he has to admit, like, the whole follow your heart thing just isn't working anymore, because they've tried doing that and it's just not working.
All right. So this first pick is my biggest issue. And people were tweeting at me or posting, like, can't wait for your rant. Like, I'm not that mad at Tyler. We'll get into it. I'm pretty mad at Tyler. I think it was pretty stupid. But this Mike and Mel pick, can you make any sense of this for me?
No, and honestly, this was like the standout moment of Mel's season. When Mike goes to Ryan and says, oh, we have so much in common, hoping that line he could just throw it out there and then be like, oh, okay, maybe you guys do have stuff in common. And then when Mel turned to him and said, like what? I started cracking up. That was so perfect, because they probably have had like maybe two conversations in the entire season, and it was probably about like, can you pass me the beer or can you get me a pretzel? Like, that was probably their conversations. And now it's like, oh, we have so much in common. And it's like, no, you don't. Or if you do, you have no idea if you have stuff in common.
Crap, now I'm hungry for pretzels. But no, I mean, yeah. And then Mike's only explanation is when Kiki starts chiming in, which was probably a mistake because everyone's annoyed with Kiki. Yeah. So if other people are going to bat for you, maybe just cool off. But Mike's only explanation is like, well, if she is my match, you're going to look stupid. And it's like, you could say that about absolutely everyone in the house. Like, oh, if I'm right, the whatever percent chance it is, then you're going to look dumb. Then you'll see.
But they're not going to be a match, so she won't look stupid. You'll just continue to look stupid. I don't understand why he picked her. It just makes, like, I don't get it.
I don't know, but this, Mel has been having, like, good moments in the last few episodes, like, tiny moments, including this one, like you spoke about, and it's just upsetting me, because I really actually am starting to think she'd be great for the challenge. I mean, we've talked about it before in the first competition when she was like, I love competing, and it's like, I don't know that we've seen enough from her or that she's gotten enough fan love to get a spot on the challenge, but I really do think, given like a second chances, like Kelly Wentworth style, she would be great.
I said this in the preview. She gives a lot of Evelyn vibes. I could see her being like that, just like a straight, like, won't do like any of the hookup drama, but will be a good competitor. I'm gonna do drama in terms of like strategy, manipulation, stuff like that, but would be a good person on the challenge. But I agree. I don't think we'll ever see her there.
I don't know if I see Evelyn vibes. I totally think she would hook up with people. I mean, she's on Are You the One. But we'll see. I don't know that she's gonna make it. But All right. So Hunter and Brittany.
Yep.
Bullshit explanation. Like, oh, like, I'm similar to her ex. So like, for the first time, I'm thinking maybe we're matched. Like, you picked, I mean, that's not why you're picking her. It's so obvious, like, why you'd be picking her every single other week. And to say that Amanda's still holding on to Mike, it's like, this was what was so frustrating with our conversation with Zach, with our conversations before. It's like, these matchups are not determining who you have to talk to. Like, all you, as Zach said, like, all you have to do is sit with them for the matchup ceremony. It's not that big of a deal. So if Amanda's holding on to Mike, but you think she's your match, go for the money and pick her. Right.
It's, they keep thinking, like, if I pick this person as my match, it somehow is going to change if they're my match or not. It's like, again, the 10 matches are already locked in a safe somewhere, not being changed. Your process of thinking has nothing to do with it.
I just still can't tell if it's like what you're saying or if it's more just like, I want to convey to the person that I really like them. If it's like latent wise, like, I'm going to pick Christina because I like her more than I like Tyler. And if I pick her, she'll be moved by that. So if I'm Hunter and I like Brittany, I'm going to pick her. Like, or if I'm Tyler and I like Cheyenne, I'm going to pick her regardless to show Cheyenne that I'm really all about her. Whereas I think the girls are like, I don't give a shit. You're taking money out of my pocket. It would be more touching to give me cash than it would to pick me at the matchup ceremony.
It's like, let's win $25,000 or whatever it is now each, and then we can be together after. But let's like get the money first rather than like you. I'm not going to be telling my kids one day about how you picked me in the 8th matchup ceremony. Like, that's not going to be a thing. But you saying how we won money together, that could be a thing.
Yeah, and you're going to need that money to take me out. Like, that, I mean, come on. But all right, so Alec and Stacey, blah, blah, blah. And this is when, I mean, Ty Boogie, come on up.
And he's like, that's not your name, T Boogie. It's not your name. Correct him. He's wrong. It's T Boogie.
I think Tyler's just too polite. He doesn't want an Amanda edit like she got it yelling at him.
But this would be very deserved.
All right, break this moment down for us.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I knew this would happen going into it because I think it was Rashid at a confessional saying, oh, I still have so much faith in us. Like, Kiki has 3 matches. I have faith we can do it. So I'm like, going into the sermon, I'm like, all right, something interesting is going to happen. That's going to be batshit. And Tyler knows that Kiki is either his match, Mike, or Alec. And Mike or Alec didn't pick her, so he should, if he, I guess the move would be to pick her. I don't fully, we'll get to it in a second, but I don't fully agree that the move would be to pick her. But that's the last, Kiki's last chance to be potentially with her match. But instead, he follows his heart and picks Cheyenne.
What do you mean the move, you're not sure if the move would have been to pick her?
Because I don't think, if you really don't think this person is your match, then you might as well not pick her, because I like, you're still going to be wrong. So why would you pick her? So I'm fine. I'm honestly fine with Tyler picking Cheyenne.
I think then it doesn't matter either way. But the real issue is not right. It's not Tyler not picking her. It's Mike not picking her.
That's the issue. Yeah.
I mean, did you see the deleted scene? Tyler kept saying like, oh, guys, check out the deleted scene and then you'll understand like why I picked Cheyenne. And basically it was just like more of what actually happened when Tyler got called up to the matchup ceremony. And it's basically like all the girls go at Tyler when he picks Cheyenne, except for Amanda. She unsurprisingly goes at Kiki. And Tyler, when he says, like, who did you think was going to choose you? I feel like in the episode, it came off more as a dig to Kiki, but it was really like, who was supposed to pick you, Kiki? And Kiki says, Alec, and Tyler's like, thank you. And basically says, Alec, you said you were going to pick Kiki 500 times. And Alec's like, I never said that last night. Oh, that was last night. Like, there was some confusion. Basically, Tyler went into the matchup ceremony expecting Alec to pick Kiki. Kiki went in expecting Alec to pick her, and then Alec picked Stacey. Now, what's insane here, oh, and Kiki agrees. She's like, yeah, I don't have a good connection with Tyler yet. And then while Brittany goes off on him, this is we saw in the episode, there's an amazing cut to T-Boogie just laughing at her, which I loved. But I don't even think, and now you understand maybe why, like, we all understand why Tyler picked Cheyenne, just because he was never even supposed to pick Kiki. But at the same time, Alec picking Kiki would almost be as dumb.
I kind of think if Tyler not picking Kiki, it almost, if, because they're probably not going to win this week anyway, the way they were going in, it almost helps them a little bit, because now they have like, okay, so we know that one's not a match, and then we can maybe figure out that one's not a match. So now it's like almost helps them narrow it down even further about which ones could be their match. So if they were thinking about it more logically, I think actually knowing a couple isn't a match, and then especially with Kiki, that, all right, so she only has three matches, I think it might actually help them figure it out.
I think, though, it only knocks out one, though. Like, it only tells you that Austin and Kiki are in a match.
Right, but you also know then that whoever you think Kiki's match is and whoever you think Austin's match is, those pairs aren't a match.
Yeah, but I don't know that they have, like, a tremendous lead. Like, maybe with Kiki, sure, but with Austin, like, who do they have a lead to know who they think Austin's match is?
True.
I just think it's almost like a net neutral. But in concept, I understand the frustration. But in reality, I don't really think it matters either way.
I was not surprised, because I guess we've seen it before, but almost taken aback at how much Brittany flipped the hell out at Tyler. Like, she was like right in his face yelling at him.
Well, that's what I loved in the deleted scene, is Tyler's just cracking up.
It's like Brittany, like, she really knows how to play it up for the camera at the perfect moment.
I mean, all of the girls freak out in the deleted scene. Like, all of them are yelling, and it's really just Amanda who's the one yelling at Kiki. But Billy Gross, I can't be the only one who's allowed to rant here. So Billy Gross wrote, sorry for the long-windedness of this question/rant. How much blame should be put on Kiki for the guys not picking her at the matchup ceremony? From what was said, she made no effort to connect with any of the three guys who could be her matches and focused solely on Devin. Why would anyone want to pick someone who won't even acknowledge their existence? Were the three guys trying to send her a message that she needs to make more of an effort, or did it just happen that way?
I mean, it seems like based on what everyone said, it's like there's a miscommunication about who was picking who. That's, I think, really just what it came down to. I don't think they were strategically saying, guys, let's send Kiki a message that she sucks and we're not going to pick her. Like, I don't think that was what was happening. It was someone was supposed to pick her, and it's, I guess it was Alec, and he didn't. And then things snowballed from there.
I think what Billy's getting at is fair, though. I mean, the reality is none of the three guys wanted to pick her. Like, yes, there was a miscommunication, but none of them wanted to pick her. None of them want her to be their match, or that's the impression we're getting. And I think it's fair. I mean, I can understand all three of them not being into her at this point based on everything that's happened. What I cannot understand is letting the money just, like, fly out of your pocket for that reason. And that, moreover, goes along with just in general not wanting to pick people strategically at the matchup ceremony. But, like, Mike and Mel hadn't talked either. So, really, I think the key issue here is maybe Mike thought that Alec was going to pick Kiki, but otherwise, we have no explanation for Mike's actions here.
No. Especially picking Mel. It was like, although, I mean, I guess he doesn't really have any connection other than Amanda, so I don't know who else he would
Kayla.
Pick. I guess he could have picked Kayla, sure.
So, we're going to get down to the bottom of this tomorrow, because we're going to be talking with the one and only Tyler himself, special interview with him. And Brian's going to post a thread on Rob Has a Podcast on Facebook, where you usually submit your questions. So get those questions in. By the time you're listening to this, we may have already talked to him, but.
Well, we're talking to him Monday.
Oh, did I say tomorrow? I keep thinking today's Sunday. Bonus day. Yeah.
So you probably will have listened to this before we talked to Tyler, so the thread should be up as you're listening right now. Right now.
All right. So the rest of it's kind of whatever. Chuck and Amanda.
This is one of the more interesting, because this was a moment that if Devin really wanted to be like the villain and like the asshole douchebag of the season, this was a moment that he could have seized, and it would have been like a truly great TV moment if he turned around and picked Kiki for this matchup ceremony. Like, it was right there for him. Like, he already knew Kiki was not going to be picked by someone who was her match. This was a moment where he could have just been like, I'm picking Kiki, and seeing what everyone's reaction would have been.
But see, I kind of think that would have been a more of a hero thing to do. Why do you think that makes him a villain?
Just because she's so upset with him, and he's like hates her, and everyone knows they like hate each other, and just like almost like forcing her to be with him at that moment. I think it would have been great.
It's definitely a manipulative move. I think the reason I think it's more of a redemption story is because I'm going to rescue this girl who feels terrible about herself because all three guys stepped over her, and I'm going to help the house because, you know what? Somebody's going to have to be her match anyway. And, you know, you kind of have a good idea that Rashida's my match or whatever. Like, either way, we're not going to get the money. So let me sit out so Austin can get some more information here. I kind of think the way he spun, I mean, I could have seen him spinning it either way, but even if he spun it like, I own you, get up here, like, I don't know. Like, I don't actually think it's that villainous of a move. Like, the latent move was way more villainy. Villainous.
I just wanted to say it. I was super disappointed when he picked Rashida. I was super disappointed.
I don't know. I loved Rashida here, though.
Yeah. This was basically the same thing what Cheyenne almost said 2 weeks ago, though. So, like, kind of already seen it, so I wasn't that into it.
I don't know. It was better for me because Rashida plays it slow. So it's like, first, Devin thinks that she's going to be happy because she's like, I sat with Devin how many times? He's like, 3 times. And she's like, yeah, a lot of these couples have sat together already. What are you stupid mofos doing? Pick some other people. So like, she almost like brings him into the web and then boom, pounces. And I love that because Devin didn't get what he was thinking he was going to get.
No, that was good, but I just the impact of it didn't hit as well as when Cheyenne did, because she had first arriver status.
Sure, I don't know, that didn't affect it for me, but I see what you're saying. And then I've always wondered this. It's almost like in Bachelor in Paradise, and there's just so many parallels when they give out a rose to people, or even just the Bachelor in general. Like, they usually don't kiss in front of everyone. More the Bachelor and Bachelorette. Here, like, Zach calls up Hannah. This is one of the only times we've seen that matchup, like, not just be fast forwarded over, and they kiss in front of her. It's like, who are you? What are you trying to prove? Like, we get it. You're together,
right? And I thought they were almost like fully gonna like make out, like, or have sex, like, right at the moment. Like, she was like really starting to like lean, and Zach kind of like pulled away near the end. Like, it was like they almost forgot where they were. It felt like.
I just have no more snarky remarks to when you say that people kissing are about to have sex in front of
you. Like, go back and watch the scene of how they're like leaning in to have kids. It wasn't just like, oh, friendly, like, oh, this is like, it was just go back and watch.
I watched. I was with you when it seemed like it was going to turn into a more intimate kiss than it did turn into. But I'm not going with it. Like, there's no amount of times I could watch this to think that they were about to rip their clothes off and have sex in front of the entire crew and cast of the show.
You never know.
Fan fiction. So Nelson picks Kayla, and then it's very strange to see Austin and Kiki get matched up when they're not a match.
Is this? I think we've discussed this maybe like 3 times this season, but is this the first time? Well,
we had
ever
a viewer say that Dre and Ashley were matched up when they weren't a match. But
okay, I feel like I've asked that every time, and you've answered the same way every time.
No, it's just bizarre. Like, this is the first time in our memory that this happened, right? So that's. Perception's reality.
Yeah.
It's very weird. And I don't know, I guess, I wonder if, are you allowed to pick someone you know is not your match? Or is it just if you get, end up that way?
Yeah. I don't know. We've never had that answer.
Because that's an interesting strategy. If you keep Brittany and Hunter together and Alec and Stacey together, you have blackout protection, assuming in the off chance not Zach and Kayla, but you have blackout insurance, and then everyone else you can manipulate to just use it as a truth booth.
You could, but I don't think they're smart enough to figure it out.
I would hope that it's like the rules won't allow it, but who knows?
So maybe Devin wanted to pick Kiki and Cuddy.
I love Zach calling for a charity beam. Come on, guys. Charity beam, charity beam. They need it. They need so many charity beams. I love that.
So three matches again. So who do you think it is?
At this point, I think it's Alec and Stacey. I think if it's not Alec and Stacey and this storyline has been the way it is, bullshit on this whole season.
So Alec and Stacey and then the other one would be Zach and Anna?
Maybe Rashida and Devin. Maybe Rashida and Devin. What do you think?
I think Zach and Hannah and then probably Alec and Stacey.
I mean, Brittany and Hunter make sense to me too, but I can't understand this season otherwise. And I know we can't always go off of storyline, but that is the only explanation to me for why. Like, I feel like the show wants to make it seem like these matches work. If you give into love, they work. And that's what we've seen here, right? Is like Stacey and Alec have a connection. Alec runs away from it. And then Alec realizes like, okay, maybe she's what I need. And then they're a match. Otherwise, like, what are we watching?
Right. No, I mean, felt the way about when a lot of matches fall apart, though. So
Nick Fishman, comedian in the making, wants to know, do the players have a renewed chance at winning in the end?
No, they don't. They suck.
So Sue Cohen, Plainview Sue, has a question. It's kind of a long comment, but I'm going to read it because people love hearing PVS's opinion. Do you think they're allowed to discuss before the matchup ceremony who they're picking? Mike picking Melanie, a person who said she hadn't said two words to, was ridiculous. Tyler and Mel had a connection. Let him pick her. This season has had such promise, I thought, but now next week is the finale and only one couple has been confirmed. I am not rooting for them to win. In fact, I'd be thrilled if the finale shows a blackout. Boom. Mic drop.
That would be pretty funny. The last ceremony, they don't get any new matches.
The thing is like the blackout is so much less impactful because they'll always have that one beam.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, but It would have the same effect, I think.
I don't know, not for me, but it would just like, because I like when he went up to the iPads and it's like nothing. Now when you have the one beam, it's like blackout. Well, it's not blackout, you got the one beam. It's like a brownout.
Okay.
But yeah, Zach, I'll just point everyone to our Zach interview. He talks a little bit about why some of the matchup ceremonies go awry. Speaking of Zach, Mia Pio wants to know, Zach seems pretty bitter on Twitter about how much airtime Kiki and Devin have gotten week to week. In my opinion, it's interesting to see because that's where the drama is. But what do you guys think? Is their storyline getting old and or is there something you would rather see instead? And Molly Block wrote to her, so old, make it stop.
Yes, it is really old. Please make it stop. I would rather see anything else.
Yeah, I mean, as I said before, we could have seen the evolution of Stacey and Alec in two episodes, especially if they're already cutting things from different episodes. It's not like they want to be true to the timeline. And same with Devin and Kiki. So that it does make sense. We talked about it. Molly Block, who makes you want to stab your eyeballs out more, Kiki or Ryan Devlin?
I honestly didn't mind Devlin this episode. So I'm going to not answer.
Are you saying that you didn't mind Kiki this episode either?
The only reason I minded Kiki this episode is because the Devin stuff is just so old and tiring. Like, I don't mind Kiki if she was in a different storyline. Like, I just can't take the Devin stuff.
I thought this was a great episode for Kiki for the most part, standing up for him. I thought it was a good episode for Ryan Devlin. But regardless, the day that I get worked up enough about Are You the One to Stab My Eyeballs Out, I have a bigger problem.
I wasn't taking the question.
Yeah, well, that was
literally
just a joke. So just, you know, leave time for people to laugh at my hilarious jokes. Mackenzie Lynn. Also, are we not going to get a double truth booth? If people are looking for evidence that production wants them to fail, wouldn't this be the biggest hint? Especially with only one couple perfectly matched. Doesn't Ryan follow your heart, Devlin, always say at about this time that we decided to give you some extra help? Does this mean the season's cast doesn't deserve help, although they are easily the worst performing cast thanks to the genius, in quotes, twist that was given to them?
Well, did season two get help? When did season two get help?
They viewed that bus party as help. They were like, now we're going to give you a little help. Bus party.
Well, they got Luau party.
Yeah, so I mean, the bottom line is they should have gotten two truth booths based on this situation. I just really don't think that the production cares either way if they find their match. I'm just starting to believe that more and more. I think they just think what's going to be look the best.
Is.
For all we know, they got two truth booths and we just didn't see it. Like,
that would be really funny if somehow one of them was already in the truth booth and they're like, yeah, let's not even show.
So Andrew Kirk, going to ask the same question I did 2 weeks ago. What is the percent chance we see Alec and Stacey in the truth booth next week?
I say zero. Well, not zero, but I just don't think it's going
to happen. I just don't think there's a point to it anymore. At this point, like, take a Hail Mary. Just assume that Stacey and Alec are a match and work from there.
What I would love to see is in the 10th match of ceremony, they do some type of combination where it's actually impossible for them to win. Like, they have three couples from this match of ceremony once again paired up, not counting Chelsea and Connor. So it's like, we know that they can't win.
I think nearly every episode that they've, I don't think they've ever had a matchup, not ever, but in recent episodes, like, they've always been screwed. They've never been able to get 10. I think that's a high probability that will happen. And Mackenzie Lynn points Andrew Kirk to our interview with Zach, because he talks about, I guess she says that he talks about that Alec and Stacey can never win a challenge, so it's difficult to get them into the truth booth. Billy right. Gross wants to know, is the fact that some of the season 3 people might be on the challenge the reason why they aren't having a reunion?
No, I mean, it's an interesting thought, but they wanted to film the reunion. They could have done so earlier.
Yeah, I actually texted Brian about this earlier this week and then was like, oh wait, that's they could have filmed it. But then maybe it's like they weren't sure how the show was doing, they didn't want to put the money in, and then afterwards it was too late. Or maybe it's that they don't get the matches and they don't want to have a reunion. I don't know. I'm not sure. I really don't understand why they're not having one, especially being that season 4 got renewed. I thought no reunion was a surefire indication that they were going to get dropped, but
right.
It's a mystery.
It's weird. It's a weird move. No after shows.
The after shows were a great thing to be cut.
Sure. I mean, it's a great thing because they were just awful, but if they were like executed well, it could have been interesting.
I don't even like the after shows, to be honest, because it's like, no, they can't really talk about anything. You know, they're on TV. They're there with MTV. It's like, I don't know that I ever felt like I got information from an after show, even the good ones. But that's just me.
Okay.
Tia Town Sean, season 4, 11th guy.
I don't know. I liked when they do 10-10. I don't think they need to do an 11th person for a twist, but I mean, I wouldn't mind it. Certainly better than the blackout rule.
Zach talked about twist possibilities a little bit in the interview. I don't know. I kind of was feeling like maybe I don't know. I think the 11th guy's was interesting. We've talked about it before. I don't know that it will lead to the same drama as it did with the 11 girls. So we will see. There will be a twist, though. And Andrew Kirk with the final question from me. With the show being renewed, what can season 4 learn not to do from this cast?
Don't follow your heart. Do all strategy.
Not that their strategic matchups really worked out.
I don't know what to do. I mean, the key is just you have to get a little lucky early on and hope that some of the initial connections do well. Or just be better at putting yourselves in positions to have the right people go into the truth booth is really the biggest thing. Because that's what they've sucked at for the entire season.
Yeah, I think the editing has a lot to be learned from this season. But yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying. And just...
I mean, really, since like week 2, outside of Chelsea and Connor, did you ever think any of the couple going in was going to be a match?
I have to believe I thought it was possible. I think I thought Chuck and Kiki could be a match. I mean, anyone could be a match. Like, I never really am like, no way, except for Nelson and Kiki this week. Am I ever like, there's 0 chance.
0% chance.
I mean, I think there's just as big a chance as anyone that Kiki already was matched with could have been a match as there is that I would have thought there would have been between her, Mike, Tyler, and Alec. Like, it's not like any of them are clearly her match. That's all the questions we have.
So did I have to do anything leading up to this episode? I don't think so, right? I looked at my notes from last week. I didn't write anything down.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. So we'll post the thread for questions for Tyler. Check that out. To interviewing him, supposed to be Monday night, so check that out. Then two-part finale is this week, episode 9 and episode 10. They're burning it off one after the other. So is that from, is it 10 to 12?
I hope it's not 10 to 12, but it probably is.
It's probably 10 to 12. That's
check your local listings.
It's annoying. Right. And then we'll cap off the season next week, and soon is the challenge coming up. Few weeks away, right after Thanksgiving, so look out for that. You can subscribe to our podcast at robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at busdriversroute. You can follow,
you know,
you
don't follow me on Twitter. No, you can follow me at Lash Tweets.
You can unfollow me at busdriversroute also. That's it. That's all I got. Until next time, have a good one.